1257, please.
Approve application under the Multiple Unit Limited Tax Exemption Program for North Hollow Apartments located at Southwest 15th Avenue and Southwest Taylor Street.
You could read 1258 and 1259 as well. We're going to do them all as one.
1258, approve application under the Multi-Unit Limited Tax Exemption Program for Vancouver Avenue Apartments located at North Vancouver Avenue and North Shaver Street. And 1259, approve application under the Multiple Unit Limited Tax Exemption Program for Mississippi Avenue Apartments located at North Mississippi Avenue, North Albina Avenue, and North Borthwick Avenue between North Fremont Street and Cook Street.
Commissioner Salzman.
Thank you, Madam President. These three ordinances are the first projects under the Multiple Unit Limited Tax Exemptions Program, which was recently revised by the City Council and the Multnomah County Commission. The changes were intended to maximize the ability of this program to create more affordable units in private market developments, while also providing more accessible units and opportunities for minority women and emerging small business contractors. These three projects reflect a total of 409 units, 20% of which will be affordable units, 27 will be affordable to households at 60% of median family income, and 55 will be affordable to households below 80% of median family income. These projects are also located in amenity-rich areas of the city, where we desperately need more affordable housing. Two of the projects are located in the Vancouver-Williams corridor in the Interstate Urban Renewal Area, and one is in the Goose Hollow neighborhood. In addition to providing affordability, all of the projects include universal design accessibility features, and 5% of the affordable units will be fully adaptable. Additionally, the developers of all three proposed projects have entered into technical assistance contracts with experts in minority contracting in order to maximize the utilization of minority and women-owned construction firms in the development of these rental projects. I'd like to invite up Dory Von Bockel and Andrea Mathiasen from the Portland Housing Bureau, Tony Jones, Executive Director of the Metropolitan Contractor Improvement Partnership, and Jed Jansen from Transition Projects, Inc. You have to grab another chair.
Thank you, Commissioner. I'm Dory Van Bockel, Program Coordinator with the Portland Housing Bureau, working on the multi-programs. You introduced them very well, so there's not a lot more detail I wanted to give other than the fact that after making the changes to the program, we started taking applications again at the end of September, so we're excited to have three right off the bat taking advantage of the program, and we also have others in line to hopefully fully utilize the cap that we have for the 2015 calendar year. Anything you want to add?
Andrea Mathiasen, Housing Program Manager of the Portland Housing Bureau. We just wanted to provide the opportunity for you to ask questions about the three specific projects. I know that you've got the individual project write-ups attached as exhibits to the ordinances. Just wanted to know if there are any specific questions
Andrea,
that you'd like answered.
Two questions. One is, it looks like the chart that we've been given, all the units are 60 and below. Is that correct?
That's not actually correct. A portion of the units are available at 60%, affordable at 60% and below, and some are affordable at 80% and below.
How do we make that, when we administer the program, how do we make that distinction between 60 and 80%?
It depends on the market of the particular neighborhood that a project comes in, their application, and the rents that are currently being charged in that neighborhood.
Under the revised guidelines, do we have a formal or informal mechanism to seek an extension of an additional 10 years for this program? For any unit that's covered under this ordinance, do we have a formal or informal process for coming back and considering a 10-year extension?
We do. We have a formal process. That process has been utilized previously by several of our nonprofit partners. And we also are in the process of formalizing something for projects that are private market developments as well.
And so, for example, if in 10 years we were operating below whatever the then cap was and there was someone willing to consider an extension, that's an example where we could with council and county approval, we could extend beyond 10 years and still stay under the $3 million cap.
That's correct. The foregone revenue, however, for any project that would have an extension would count against the cap right at this point in time.
And the last question I had is, I've read some nonsense from some developers who blamed the old program for why we have such a miserable track record of generating affordable units in private sector development. And one of the things, of course, most of the commentary glossed over was that we used to have a $1 million cap on foregone revenue, so there just weren't that many units that we were going to be able to award in any event. But under Commissioner Salzman's leadership, we have revised the program to make it more developer-friendly. And I would be curious to hear from you, now that we have this new set of rules in place, what do you think was the most significant change that benefited this program having more people taking advantage of it? And we originally were told that the competitive nature of the old program created timing and certainty problems. Obviously, we were operating with a $1 million cap before, which limited overall the number of units. We had a cap on profits and other things. But from your experience in this round, what change or changes is making a difference in developers taking advantage of it?
I think you already mentioned the difference in how projects can apply for the program. They're able now to come in not just in a defined period of time, but whenever they're ready in a more appropriate development timeline. But I think in addition to that, we're also looking at a scenario where we have taken away the restriction on the rate of return for the projects. And I think that that's obviously rather compelling for a number of our development partners. And then I think we did hear from our development partners as well in the private market that the lack of predictability around the cap and the availability of awards that could be made under that $1 million cap was a deterrent from using the program. And so to have a $3 million cap where there's more room and they have more certainty that there might be room for their projects as well is appealing.
The original changes we made 4 or 5 years ago had in the underlying ordinance a requirement that the Bureau annually review the program to see if there are further refinements that make it more effective. Is that your intent following 1 year of experience with these new guidelines to do a review and come back to us with any suggestions you might have for refinement?
That's correct. I think in this market in particular, it's very critical that we are constantly monitoring the effectiveness of not just the multi-program but all of our affordable housing programs, and if there's opportunities for revisions or tweaks that we're aware of those and tracking that possibility.
Thank you.
Mr. Jones? You could press the button at the base of the microphone.
Yeah. Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Tony Jones. I'm the executive director of Metropolitan Contractor Improvement Partnership, and we're here in support of the applications for the multi-program. We're working directly with Marathon developers on the North Vancouver Avenue and Shaver Street project, as well as the Mississippi Avenue and North Albina project. And we want to say, I know it's very early on, that you know the strategy in terms of engaging with organizations like ours, we think is helpful. We think it works because one of the biggest challenges that I think small businesses face is getting information about opportunities in a timely manner where they can plan for that opportunity and maybe have the chance to actively participate. What's great about this is that you know, Aaron has been very proactive and immediately reached out to us. We're working closely with them. We have a draft memorandum of understanding of, you know, our scope of services that we're going to provide to outreach, identify minority women contractors to participate in these two developments. And we have different ways we're going to approach breaking down the work so minority and women contractors can maximize their opportunity to participate. So we think that the program has made some improvements that is really going to provide more opportunities for businesses to get to work and actually in particular connect to private sector opportunities, which I think is great.
Thank you. Mr. Jansen.
Okay. Jed Jansen. I'm a housing case manager for Transition Projects. I worked with Marathon Property Management recently with their development, the Wilmore. I work with disabled vets, and they reached out to Transition Projects, and I was able to get one of our vets on the waiting list, he was afforded an opportunity he otherwise wouldn't have been able to get. He's thrilled to be living in a place where the services he needs to access are close. Like, he doesn't have to, travel very far to get services. And working with Wilmore, having a place that gives vets priority, and just having the access to that affordable housing piece is huge, especially to our organization that work with people who are all under that stress. So.
Thank you. That completes the invited testimony.
Thank you. Questions? Does anybody want to testify on any of these three ordinances? Yes, please come on forward.
I have one more person signed up. Stephen Gomez.
Are you sure?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, commissioners. I'm Stephen Gomez.
Push the button. Yeah.
Thank you. Good afternoon, commissioners. I'm Stephen Gomez, resident of the Boise neighborhood and a member of the board of directors of the Boise Neighborhood Association. And in that capacity, I chair the Land Use and Transportation Committee. I'm here to speak to the BNA's support of Marathon Development's multi-unit limited tax exemption grant application for two projects in our neighborhood. As you know, the Boise neighborhood, part of the historic Albina community, has seen tremendous change in forms of both displacement and development. In 1990, 68% of Boise's residents were African American. By 2010, that number had fallen to 24%. Contributing to this trend is the fact that only 40% of residents in Boise own their homes. Low-income renters are easily displaced, particularly when vacancies are low and rents rapidly rise. The predominant trend in Boise today is development. Currently, along Williams, Vancouver, and Mississippi are main streets. We know of 1,200 units of mixed-use apartment projects, apartment units, in various stages of planning, permitting, or construction. Of these 1,200 new units, exactly 15 apartments, or 1%, are classified as affordable by City of Portland Housing Affordability Guidelines. Not coincidentally, and as just recently mentioned, those 15 units are at Marathon's new apartment project, the Wilmore, also funded by a multi-grant. In April of this year, the Boise Neighborhood Association, recognizing the dynamics of displacement and development, adopted a housing affordability statement sent to the Housing Bureau and Commissioner Saltzman's office, underscoring our neighborhood's support for a broad range of housing affordability programs to be focused on our neighborhood as well as citywide. We believe that lower and moderate income residents deserve to benefit from attributes market rate development brings to our neighborhood, attributes including improved transportation infrastructure, social amenities, enhanced public safety, and improving schools. Programs providing housing options to lower income residents to stay or return to Boise are a high priority for us. We've worked closely with Marathon Development over the last 2 years on their four mixed-use projects totaling over 300 units of apartments they'll begin building in 2016. They've been responsive to many of our requests, and they will be an asset to our neighborhood. Awarding the multi-grant Marathon has applied for is a concrete action the city can take now, which will provide 57 affordable housing units in Boise. We also recognize the need for and support significant investment in a variety of affordable housing types in Boise and citywide, including single-family home ownership, home repair, housing for families, veterans, and seniors, and assistance for first-time moderate-income home buyers. We urge the council to vote in support of Marathon Development's multi-grant application. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for taking the time to be here.
You're welcome.
Would you mind emailing your statement of principles on housing to all the council members?
Absolutely. Love to. Thank you.
Thank you. These are all non-emergency ordinance, so they move to second reading, which finishes up the morning agenda. Do we need to read the afternoon title since we're going to be rescheduling it? Could you please read title 1260?
Accept report on the City of Portland disabled parking.
And this is rescheduled, but we don't know the time yet. Is that correct?
That's right. I'm asking to be returned to my office, and we will reschedule it.
Great.
Madam President, may I ask a question?
Okay.
In the absence of the mayor, will we have all four members of council tomorrow, too, for the presentation on the Willamette River crossing?
Is anybody scheduled to be out, Carla?
Correct. Only the mayor.
Okay. Thank you.
So we have tomorrow afternoon we have a presentation, and then tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock at the Middleman Jewish Community Center, we will be taking testimony on the comprehensive plan proposal. Other than that, until tomorrow at 2, we are adjourned.
No limits to you.